Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there, Tennessee fans. Welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fan Talk. Them Vols, week one, 1-0 in the conference. Better than we say for some of them teams. We're going to talk a little bit around the SEC. Not too much with them being the kind of games they were, but we do want to talk about the losers. We want to talk about Tennessee, how we feel they showed out on week one, and what they need to do before going down to Gainesville in week three. They got a week in between to practice on that. Guys, thank you again for tuning in. Podcast listeners, thank you for continuing to increase the listens we have. Remember to share. We are at TN Fan Talk. Wherever you are, we are. Today we have back the Duke. Last week, missing in action on the show, that is, as he was in Daytona living
it. But I was in Nissan for the game.
See? That's better than what I could say. And special guest returning from last week, Bryce Barnes. How you doing?
Just here to pick another perfect pick'em.
So listeners, last week
he solidifies us, right? He makes us like we're just bums. But if he's on it, then we are now. You know, he solidifies us being idiots.
I'm just going to be Volstradamus. That's what I'm calling.
He's the new statistician. Last week, we had a little problem with episode two not going out. Bryce hit every single one of them. Now, week one, that's not hard to do on winning or choosing the right pick, except for I picked South Carolina and I picked LSU, so maybe I need to back up on those words. But he got very close. Some of them we hit dead on. And so we'll see if he can do it again. Bryce, you up for that?
Let me stretch a little bit here.
Tennessee in Nashville making their record against Virginia 4-1. They did lose a game to them back in 1980 in Knoxville, but beaten handedly this time. Guys, here we'll jump right into this part. Joe Milton, his longest was like 41. Is that right?
Not his fault.
100% not
and,
his fault.
And he would have had a longer. It was dropped. It was a perfect pass, and it was dropped. Yes. Okay. So, did he give you the good fuzzy feeling? I mean, he didn't manhandle that guy in the red zone.
No, yeah, that was an absolute little brother, like in the backyard throw down there. But I thought that Joe I thought that he did well. I thought that there were good spots. One of the biggest things I was looking out for was are there any pockets of adversity that are going to happen? Because obviously you can't go into the swamp in week three with never facing any adversity, never having anything. I mean, that'd be a huge concern because even if Sunbelt Billy does pull something out, you know, Florida still is a tough team. So I think him going, he had those three misses, like back-to-back-to-back, three like overthrows. I think that was huge to have that.
That was a very, very bad series.
Yes, it was terrible. And what was great about that was he came right back out the next series and did extremely well. And I think that's one of those things that we need. We need in terms of seeing Joe Milton play. He's got to have those moments.
I'm not going to say that he didn't give me the warm fuzzy on the inside, but he also did not give it to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of
– yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did what we had to do. I mean, we still put up 49 points. Our running game was dominant.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
We have one of the best.
Dude. When did Tennessee have that kind of running? When was the last time?
I was about to say, it's the best one we've had in a long time. I'm not saying it's the best in the East or the SEC, but it's the best running back run we've had in a long time.
Right. We've had a onesie-twosies, you know. We've had I just went mind blank. We've had onesie-twosies. We've never had three that could put it together. It didn't matter who was going in.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Some of that might have been UVA, too, because UVA stinks. But, I mean, they're still a Power 5.
They had a good defensive line. I mean, it wasn't horrible. They sacked Joe Milton. 21 for 30, 201 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Nico, a lot of fans there thought the way I did because there was a lot of hype when Nico came in and chanting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if if that just makes him feel good for being number two, then great, if that's what it does.
But, I mean, what does it do to Milton? It probably doesn't make him feel very good, if we're being honest.
Well, because he still has to prove. He has to prove.
There were spots, though, on the sideline, let's note, too, there were spots where he would come over and mentor Nico a couple times. And there was a couple of – and so this is a good opportunity, too, for him to be that guy, be that mentor.
I mean, I had the worst two type of Tennessee fans sitting behind me the whole time. They were calling for Nico by the third series. They were like, they were up there. They were stand coordinators. They were like, oh, they're cover two. Oh, they're, I'm like, shut up, dude. Drink some beers and just watch the game. Like, they're trying to call plays and do this and need to move the motion there. And I'm like, man, shut up. But they were calling for Nico like third series. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. I still gave him a high five when we scored, though.
You got to be friendly, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, since we're kind of on the topic of replacement players, I have to give – you got to love Heupel that he doesn't throw his players under the bus. He was interviewed quite quickly.
Unlike Butch Jones.
Did you see that? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how does he still got a job?
And when you get blown out like that – I mean, I get it.
I mean,
Oklahoma.
Every coach before him's had a winning record, and I think they fired a guy who had a winning record for Butch Jones. Come on.
But they have some amazing masonry classes now, though.
He should be coaching Sullivan Central High School. All right, Sullivan Central don't exist anymore.
Just put him out there. Put him out there.
Tell us how you really feel. Yeah.
Heupel did not throw his player under the bus when he definitely could have, and that was Ross, the punter. Because his first
I'm glad you brought that up.
Were atrocious.
I hate rugby style kickers.
Me too. Because they're just the accuracy is gone, and you don't seem like you get the distance. You know what is the pro of having that?
Well, it's like they kick it low and let it roll, kind of thing, right? And then hopefully they catch it.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's a difficult to field the ball, but it's also like. That motion, that moving out, it definitely is more beneficial for fake punts as well.
But if they miss, they miss big.
Oh, huge. I mean, there's like three or four games where I saw rugby-style punters where they had a chance to really pin a team back, and they shanked it, and therefore you just threw all the field position away. I mean, like it was like a 15-yard punt.
So his longest was
– we can't be doing that against Florida, let's be honest.
No. When this was happening, and there were several instances in this game, I said, if this were to happen against any SEC school, it would be drastically different results out of it.
There has to be a cooklet in the pipeline, right? Gotta be. It's time for another one. Gotta be.
So by his last one, he hit his 50-yarder in the fourth. I guess that's when it was. It was towards he punted five times, and it was either his fourth or his fifth one. He got his 50. Heupel said, and not quote, but, you know, he said, basically, what y'all saw at the end of the game is what we see in practice. This is dude's first game. You know, he's from Australia. This is his first game. He's going to get better. I'm like, when? He's got one more game to get better because if he has to punt in the third week, you can't be going. You can't have a 17-yard punt against Florida, no matter how bad they are.
And especially in the swamp, I mean, that atmosphere.
Yeah, that atmosphere is crazy.
Field position is going to be everything.
Everything.
It's going to, you're going to get crushed if you do something like that. And that could make a difference in a one possession, two possession game between winning and losing. I mean, I hate to be Al Pacino, but like this is exactly what we're talking about here. The punter has got to be – he's got to be the one that can change fields for us and not be the one that gives the field position as if we fumbled.
Quite a few more first downs than usual. We normally hang around that 20. They had 29 total first downs, 287 yards of rushing, 212 yards of passing, 499 total offensive yards. That's what we expect, right, going against a team like that. That's what we expect.
I mean, arguably, we had one of, if not the best win in the SEC. I mean, arguably. We played a Power 5 team, right?
We were actually playing some kind of someone.
Yeah, somebody with a pulse. Yeah.
I mean, we played a school that is the school of the whole state of Virginia. Virginia Tech, I know, whatever. But they are the school of Virginia.
What I'm concerned about
bunch of nerds, but
is against this UVA team, against this team that just has a pulse, third down conversions. Talk with me, guys. Third down conversions. Gosh. 5 of 13.
That was one of the points I was most concerned about. I was a little questionable of the play calling. There was a couple times where I was like, maybe it's them testing out something new.
You think Heupel's going to Jimbo Fisher it? Give me back my offense.
I saw some Philip Fulmer S calls on third down. Run it up the middle.
Yeah, it was – well, the one play that was the fourth down, like fourth and one, that's where I was like, good Lord, what are we doing? What was that?
Yeah, they've just stopped you with that on third down. You're going to try it right again. Now, I get sometimes that works, but God bless.
Yeah, we can't be having that. But I think that, again, this is one of those things where you go back to the third down conversions. This is great for us. Because we need to experience some kind of adversity. You need to have a little bit of like, hey, not everything's going your way. Now, if things don't get better against Austin Peay, I mean, Austin Peay is – they're not a great team. I mean, I actually – fun fact, I was there when they broke the longest losing streak in NCAA football history. It was actually Austin Peay, and I was at that game.
Wait a minute.
I was stationed up in Clarksville.
Oh, you were stationed. Okay, I was like,
I was stationed
why?
In Clarksville. Yeah.
You're at this game.
Well, there's a game going. I might as well go.
That's like Heupel being at Brentwood Academy or Lipscomb Academy. He was at one of the games on Friday, doing a little bit of scouting on the quarterback.
Just casually showing up.
Wow.
But if we don't, like, if things don't change, if there is not a increase or, we're crushing it on third down to where, Joe has got – he's back in the groove, there might be a little bit of time for concern. But the real test, the first real test is Florida. Everybody knows it. We know that that's what's really going to be. I mean, when's the last time we won in the Swamp? I think that's
– 15.
Like 15 years. Oh, 2015?
I think it was 2015.
Okay. I mean, that's way too long.
It's almost 10 years. Almost 10 years.
So we did continue on from last year, something we were very good at and something that now has a name for it. It's called not choking like LSU inside the red zone. We were 6 for 6, 100%. We didn't choke twice like LSU.
Well, LSU's playing a better team.
They were. They were.
True. I mean, I'm just stating facts. I mean, I hate LSU. Don't get me wrong. I hate them.
Yeah. I think the transfer portals help some people out and some people not.
Some people not so much.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. New team.
They're going to be ranked, I'm guessing, 19th.
That's my guess. I wish the rankings were out right now.
Oh, good for him. I'm glad he won. I'm pumped for – I mean, he can coach.
I'm pumped to see. I want to see more of that cornerback playing receiver as well. See how long that lasts.
Well, I mean, if anybody wants to play on both sides of the ball, you play for Deion, considering that the man played professional baseball and football at the same time.
Man, when that he came out in his press conference and he's like, you guys doubted us. One of those players, you know, came from Jackson, and he's talking about his son. He said, of course, he's my son, but he did amazing. He was lights out, and he was.
Yeah, threw for over 500 yards.
Yeah.
It's a cool record.
Yeah, got to love it.
But we also know TCU were frauds. We also knew that.
Yeah.
They lost. What did they say on the offense? There was only two or three returning players.
They're almost as fraudulent as LSU.
Almost. But Bayou Bryan didn't put the accent on in the press conference. So
LSU's
had to be a little bit more real.
I bet they're going to finish fourth in the West. That's my prediction. Fourth in the West.
Who's the three ahead of them?
Ole Miss for sure, and possibly Arkansas.
Really? And then Alabama at top?
Yeah. Of course, that was, you know. I mean, you never know. Auburn with Hugh Freeze depends on how many hookers he's got in the locker room. Motivation.
247 Sports says that they predict Florida State jumping up to 4.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Let's just wait for them to lose another like SEC or ACC bonehead game. Yeah,
they lose to Miami.
They're gonna lose to Miami. You're like they're gonna stumble against somebody like Duke. And it's you know, don't even expect it, and then they do. They always do it every year.
Well, let's just say LSU like has a good run the next 6 games, and that's when you know the ESPN heads will be saying, "Well, LSU's got a lot better since that first game." You know, that's why they're ranked so high. They've got a lot better since that first game. Yeah,
we had a little pre-talk about that. Bryce and I did about. LSU has a tough road. Is it doable? I mean, because they've got to win out. Is it doable? Yeah, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
You're going to have so many people chomping at the bit. I mean, you got Lane and the boys. They've always got someone's number every year. It might be Brian's number this year. But then Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas, it's tough. They're no one to sleep on anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I mean – go ahead and write it down, Bird. LSU is going to finish fourth in the West. Fourth.
All right. Well, this coming from the person that also said Florida was going to go almost undefeated.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I just do that for my psyche. I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. I do it for my psyche. I'm no expert. I'm just a bum that makes jokes on this.
Because we don't have time to go through all of these, I do want to hit a couple and just get your feelings on it. Florida, Utah. It was fantastic. We both said last week, Bryce and I, we said, they're going to go to Utah and they're going to get their butt whooped.
100%. My thoughts on that, Bird, are exactly what I said previously. Billy Napier is not it. Sunbelt Billy is not it. That special teams coordinator should lose his job.
Yep.
The fact that you had a 4th-and-4 and you let 2 players wearing the same number out there, that is – critical. Like this is, there are little league football teams that does not happen.
I did see, not to go off topic here, but I did see a picture of the North Carolina South Carolina game, and North Carolina scored when South Carolina had 13 players on the field.
Yes, still
scored.
Yes, yeah. They said too many players on the field. It's declined. I was like, God, but how bad do y'all suck that you had 2 more guys on there?
One extra.
Beamer might give the worst post game interview out of anybody.
Oh,
the worst.
And I know it was the I know it was the Duke Bowl, but I'm more of a Hellman's guy.
It's very Butch Jones-esque.
Yeah. The other one notable, we hit a little bit there on that South Carolina. Anytime Beamer goes down, especially when it's to someone like North Carolina, that's great. Feinbaum said SEC had a terrible weekend because it was either cupcake, and he said, you know, except for like Tennessee because they played someone with a pulse, as we said. But the games that mattered, they lost all 3 of them.
Yeah. Well, okay, South Carolina, Drake May is that guy.
Yeah.
Drake May might be the Heisman winner. That dude is a one-man wrecking team. I mean, it was unbelievable watching
him throw
the ball.
He looked really good.
Oh, he's command. I mean, and also, like, let's talk about the fact that Spencer Rattler got sacked like 9 times.
Yes,
I was about
he did.
To say, does South Carolina have the worst offensive game. Line?
Yeah, the Swiss cheese offensive line. I mean, both
that makes me feel really good for when they show up at Neyland.
Oh, yeah.
Funny with thing, though, with our defense.
Had more passing yards than me.
With our defense.
Yeah. The mistakes that are going to come from the pressure is going to be way – like, Tennessee is going to be able to capitalize on that. Even North Carolina, I mean, once you start to have Drake May not quite do his little, like, witch thing that he's doing, you start to see that offense slow down. And I think that South Carolina, facing an offense like us, there's no hope. It's going to get out of hand so fast.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about week two, make our picks, and maybe hit the highlight games. There's really only one that's going to be a highlight game.
Texas Alabama.
We'll talk about that in just a minute. Hey, Vols fans, let's be honest. Do you really trust where the meat comes from at your local grocery store? With all the fillers and preservatives out there and their unknown long-term issues, why not take a little stress off of your grocery list? More and more people are going back to the farmers for their local eggs, vegetables, fruits, honey. Teague Premium Beef offers a local solution to a nationwide problem. Simply visit bellbucklebeef.com to select your cuts and choose the processor nearest you. Teague Premium Beef will deliver grass-fed, grain-finished beef to that processor. Why take chances on the unknown? Choose local. Choose Teague Premium Beef. Tennessee fans, welcome back. Going into week two, we're going to make our picks. Let us know in the comments below what you think the picks should be, and it's real easy, just break them down line by line. Tim, we're waiting on you, Mr. Tim. We know you make good picks as well. First game, ACC Network. Bandy going to Wake Forest. Bryce, we'll start out with you.
Okay, you'll start out with me. I don't want to steal the Duke's thunder, but let me tell you right now, Bandy ain't going to win that one.
No, you steal my thunder.
That quarterback that Vanderbilt has. I'm convinced they went down to Lipscomb Academy and told the third stringer to suit up. That kid is terrible. I mean, it's bad. I feel like he's playing. He plays on Friday night and Saturday night. I mean, this kid's not great. So I'm gonna say 35-14 Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest is really gonna start to thump them, and Vanderbilt's gonna actually face somebody with a pulse, and they're gonna pay for their mistakes. Almost losing to Hawaii, we saw Hawaii's not a good team.
No,
you know, once you actually play somebody that can capitalize on the mistakes that you're making, I think this is going to get away from you fast.
Duke, what you got?
I normally play by the rule that I only give Vanderbilt scores in increments of three. Normally. But I also think Wake Forest is going to win. I mean, they're going to be middle of the road ACC, maybe top tier behind Florida State and Clemson and possibly Miami. It's going to be hard to keep up on the field. Same color schemes for both. Just putting that out there. Wake Forest is going to win 35-9. That's three field goals. Three field goals.
There he goes. I do have Wake Forest as well, 42-28.
Oh.
Yeah, give him a little bit more there. Give him a little bit more. Second game on SEC Network, 12 Eastern. Ball State, boy, they got it rough. They had to play Kentucky last week. Now they got to go play Georgia. So they're getting funded for the
– Yeah, they probably made $3 million.
Good
over the
night. They're
weeks.
Like, guys, you're going to get whooped, but we're going to have a whole new training facility.
They just show up instead of a coin toss, it's just a check handing. Like, thanks, guys. We want to make sure we're getting paid.
62-7.
It ain't gonna be that high because they didn't put that much up on Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, well, MTSU is a little better than
Austin.
Yeah, they played
UT Martin.
UT Martin, yeah, a little bit better school at Ball State.
I'm gonna go 56-10. I think that they're gonna put some of that up there. Maybe get a garbage time touchdown, a field goal, puts them in good position.
Let's hear it.
Something happens there.
I was gonna say 48-14.
Really? Look at you.
Yeah, the Dogs are going to have their third string in by the second quarter. So,
a game that really doesn't matter, and the TV schedule shows it because it's not on TV. It's ESPN Plus, East Kentucky against Kentucky, 3 p.m.
Okay, so
Eastern.
Can anybody tell me what Eastern Kentucky's mascot is without looking it up? Because I have no idea. I'm looking right now.
No clue. Hold on. Let's hit it. What is it?
So, I'm from East Tennessee, so I don't know if it's the Colonials or the Colonels. Colonels. I believe that's the Colonels.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's how it's spelled. That's the Eastern Kentucky. How do you say? Colonels.
42-10, Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 42-10 as well. I think that's sounds about right for Kentucky. I don't think this is a great Kentucky team, but they're good on defense just like every year.
I mean, it's probably gonna be like 52-14, and then they'll give Stoops an extension after the game because he's done so well.
2-0.
Extension. Most wins in all time in like Kentucky history, and he's like 56-49. Best coach they've ever had.
The 3:30 Eastern on ESPN2. This is a decent game. Here is Ole Miss at Tulane.
Let me tell you, Tulane is no one to sleep on. Duke looked up at me, kind of. I'm telling you.
No. I agree. They have one of the best logos in all.
And I'm still going Ole Miss. 35-28.
See, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Tulane 35, Ole Miss 28. I'm telling you, Lane goes for one too many fourth downs.
I have a question that nobody knows the answer to, but where is this game being played at? Is it at Tulane Stadium, or are they playing in the Superdome? Just questions. I have no idea.
It does not give me a neutral venue location.
Well, does Tulane have a field, or do they play the Superdome? I don't know these things. That's why I'm just asking. Nevertheless, I know nothing about Tulane other than they're ranked 24th, and I'm looking at it right here. That's the only reason I know.
Well, ESPN says that Ole Miss has a 77.5% chance of winning.
Well, it just depends on Joey Smoothwater. Just depends all on Joey Smoothwater.
They are in Yulman Stadium.
Yeah, I just
wonder if that's,
that up.
I wonder if that's in the French Quarter. Give me Tulane, 28-27.
Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, you got to go against the grain sometimes.
I like that. I like it. The other 3:30 game on ABC, A&M at the U of Miami.
Ooh. Mario Cristobal is not he's not done with his rebuild.
Nope.
This is not going to be what we think it is.
This is not the Miami of old. No.
No, this is not. I'm going to go 42-21. I think that there's going to be some like bits flash in the pan, bits and pieces, or it's kind of like, is Jimbo gonna lose this one? Is he gonna snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? But I think that he's gonna end up running away with it.
I think Jimbo has a fire lit under his hind end from last year too, if we're being honest.
Yeah, we're paying you big money.
I mean, A&M's got an endowment probably more than Kentucky, South Carolina, and Mississippi State combined.
His days are numbered if he doesn't win.
Yep. True, I agree. But I also think that Miami's one of the biggest letdowns every year. They're kind of in the same list with Texas. You know, everybody's always so high on
them. Yeah.
But I do have hope for an A&M this year. Like I said, I think they're going to turn around. Give me 35-21 Aggies. Just because they're playing in Miami, which there's going to be like 12 people.
Oh, next one for Eastern SEC Network, Nick Saban's alma mater, Kent State at Arkansas.
I think Arkansas puts the beat down on them.
Hey, Arkansas, you know, they said that we're rebuilding and they've put together a great team. And the headlines for Arkansas today were only 44,000 people showed up to see them on their season opener.
Has anybody, have y'all seen the rack on Pittman? I'm telling you what, it's pretty impressive. It's very impressive. I think Arkansas
he works at
wins,
Coyote too. Uglies on Sundays.
Yeah, in Daytona. In Daytona.
Daytona.
Who did you say?
I mean, I have Arkansas too. I think Jefferson runs all over him more than, I mean, I know he can throw it too, but 42-10 Arkansas.
Bryce, what was your score?
I was going to say 56-10. I think Arkansas gets a little bit. They get a little crazy. They want to put more butts in the stadium. So, you know,
I agree.
Well, Jerry Jones is backing that.
I agree on the 10, but I don't think Arkansas has. I'm going to keep them down at 35.
He's not a believer. He's not a believer in the Razorbacks.
Not a believer. The here I was joking on Kentucky.
We're on SEC plus two. So, newsflash, hit me with the dun 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 dun. I'm not going to watch the game. I'm not watching the game.
Yeah, it. I might not either. We'll skip it. We'll get back to Tennessee. The 7 Eastern ESPN nighttime Saturday night game of the week. Number 11 at this time, Texas. Number 4 at this time, Alabama, because the rankings haven't come out yet. Does Alabama, you know, they barely beat them last year with Bryce Young. Does Texas have a shot this year?
I don't think that. I think that Quinn Ewers is yep. He is a good quarterback, but there is a lot of mistakes that even they made in the week one. I think Nick Saban's got a point to prove, and I think that I think it's going to be really close. But I think Jalen Milroe shows that he is outside of the shadow of Bryce Young this game, and he actually kind of opens up and shows that Alabama, you know Nick Saban's, he's upset. He's got a point to prove, and he's coming. Everybody's a nail. And he's the hammer. So I'm saying that it's going to be 35-42. I think it's going to be a lot of scoring because I think that Texas offense is phenomenal. But I think that they're not going to have, and mark my words, they're not going to have enough steam to bring it within one possession. It is always going to be somewhere around the 2 possession for Alabama.
See, I think Quentin Ewers has a Joe Milton situation on his hands with Manning behind him, right? You know the fan base in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
They want Manning in. No, I mean, no disrespect to Ewers. He's very good.
Yeah.
But he might try to press the envelope to show how good he is, overstep the boundaries, throw a pick here, throw a pick there. 35-28 Bama.
Yeah.
I have that 35. All of us have a 35. Mine is 35. Texas, Alabama 34.
Oh, I hope you're right. I said I would pull for Saddam Hussein before I would Alabama, but
oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
The next game is going to be on ESPN plus 7. There's a lot of, God bless, 7:30s. There's tons of them.
My least favorite coach in the SEC.
Here's what gets me. How is it that they've got 7:30, 7:30, 7:30, 2 games at 7, 2 games at 7:30. The LSU Grambling is on ESPN Plus. The MTSU Missouri is on on ESPN Plus. But the Florida and McNeese game is going to be on ESPNU.
Billy's working out something behind the scenes. You can't ever trust him.
So MTSU coming off of, you know, a very hard game. Does MTSU have enough to beat Missouri?
No.
No, I don't think so. No. I think it's going to be like a 35-7 kind of game. But
no,
it
ain't that bad. It's not that bad. Not that I hate bad. Eli Drinkwitz. I hate him. I think he's the biggest D-bag in the SEC. I hate him. Nevertheless, I think MTSU scores 14. I think it's 28-14.
I can see
it might be close at halftime. It might be close at halftime. Make some adjustments at halftime. Drinkwitz does blah, 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 blah. Throws the App State juju on them, and bam, they go out and win.
Yeah, I can see that. I just don't – yeah, I think the Mizzou, that poor program, man. They come out of the Big Ten, right, and come over to the SEC, and they had like one good year with that Daniels kid, and then from now on, you just.
I mean, they made it to the SEC championship their first year, right, or was it their second year?
Yeah, or it was like first or second year. Yeah.
And yeah. Now, I mean, if you watch SEC,
one of the St. Louis market, that's all it is.
If you watch
SEC, one of the St. Louis market, that's all it is.
SEC shorts, and now they have Nike jerseys.
Yeah. Finally moving up.
I've got 28-24.
You're going to
Blue Raiders.
I mean,
oh my goodness.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, and I hope you're right.
The next one is really easy to pick. LSU, Grambling State, ESPN plus 7:30 Eastern. LSU all the way.
Do you know where Grambling is located? Which state?
4210.
Do you know what state they're located in?
Isn't it in Alabama?
Nope.
And they're in the SWAC.
They're also in Louisiana.
Really? Oh, well.
And yeah, they're the Tigers, FYI.
Oh, it's HBCU.
It's an interstate. I think that Brian Kelly finds the ball that someone space jammed his players with in the halftime. He somehow gets it back and gets the talent back released.
Gives him the Michael's magic juice or whatever it is.
Yeah. This is going to be Brian's magic gumbo.
Yeah.
gets the boys back going. I think this is an absolute blowout, but – this is Brian Kelly trying to tell the boosters, like, hey, I got it. I'm going to put the shit back on track. He's going to try to make a statement.
I mean, like, I think LSU boosters give it to me. If Grambling scores 14. It doesn't matter how many LSU scores.
It's going to be 56-7, and that 7 is going to come off of, like, something crazy.
Oh,
like,
I know what it's going to come off of. A muff punt.
Butterfingers. They need to get a Butterfinger sponsorship for that guy. NIL Butterfingers, hit him up.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I'm not going to waste the time on giving a score.
Give me a Everybody score. Give me a score. Throw it out there. I want one of your scores.
I was going to say like 48-2. Safety.
There we go. The other 7:30 McNeese at Florida.
Oh gosh,
Florida's definitely. Well, I mean, another 42-10 for me.
Let's discuss on who the next coach of the Gators is going to be.
Oh.
They're going to bring back. I'm telling you, Urban Meyer is waiting in the wing,
dude.
And that's why he released Swamp Kings. He is like, guys, just put me back.
Just bring me back.
He's like, dude, I'm here. I've got another serial killer lined up. I've got six other convicted felons ready to play. Give me a call. Give me a call.
Duke, Florida, McNeese.
Yeah, sure.
What is it?
Okay. I don't know where McNeese is. I have no idea. That might be in Louisiana as well.
No clue.
I'm gonna say 56-7.
No, they ain't gonna score that much. It's gonna be like disappointing 35-14.
poor Brian. Gosh, but Billy Napier is he's gonna have to do something. I don't know who McNeese is. I think that this is where they finally figure out where their offense like went off into hiding.
The McNeese Cowboys. Yeah, in the Southland division.
I have to Google where McNeese is because I have no idea.
No clue.
This is Billy Napier's like. This is his moment where he is going to come back. The Sunbelt Billy is going to come back. It's going to be like, I'm at home playing these no-name schools. And this is where I can really shine. When he plays SEC schools, he just loses a little bit. It's like, he has imposter syndrome.
Shh. I mean, don't be talking too much because I have Florida beating us.
Stop.
For my psyche.
God, no. Arizona, 7:30 SEC Network.
That might be a good game.
Arizona Mississippi State.
I'm gonna predict an upset here. I'm gonna say Arizona is gonna beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State seems super hot and cold. I'm gonna say 28-27. It's gonna be something weird like that.
I feel like Rodgers has been playing since 1993. That's just the vibe I got. How long has he? I mean, has he really been there that long? It just makes me feel like that.
He's as bad as JT Daniels.
I know, right? Or Bo Picks. Talk about somebody that is riding high on the hog this week. Is Bo?
Bo's about to. Bo's he coming into the game with a walker and the tennis balls.
After the end of the season, he's going to be eligible for AARP.
Dude, Bo Nix will be the only college football player that collects Social Security while still playing.
You know what's bad is when he finishes up, he could just go to BYU.
He's going to be the next guy on the. He's going to be the next guy on the commercial that says, "Do you have diabetes?" That's how old he is.
I've got Mississippi State 35-24.
I've never been a pro SEC guy.
Uh-oh, he's going Arizona.
Like, I've never been like, I'm a Tennessee guy. I hope Arizona beats them. 28.
Turnover, new leaf.
28-21, Wildcats.
There we go.
Furman, South Carolina, ESPN+.
Furman is also in South Carolina, by the way.
This is another one of the boosters games that the Shane Beamer is going to need to prove that he's still capable of. He invites all the boosters to this game. He doesn't bring them to the Mayo Bowl. He brings them all to this one.
42-13, South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to say 42. Yeah, I'm going to say 42-14. I'm going to say they actually score two touchdowns.
When does Beamer – does he bring out the lunchbox? Does he pull that card? Or is that his daddy's card?
That's his dad. Hey, I grew up.
Me too. I'm from East Tennessee originally. My granddad's a Virginia Tech grad. So I've been to many games.
Virginia Tech grads. Yeah. Beamer ball, baby. Bring it back.
Wait, blocky punts, fake punts. I mean, just it's all about special teams. South Carolina wins 42-7.
Yeah.
Last, Auburn at Cal. A 10:30 Eastern
time zone game.
Yep. ESPN. This is called YouTube TV Watch Key Plays. Because I'm not watching that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it. I'm probably not going to watch a single SEC football game. Maybe Alabama-Texas. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to watch Alabama-Texas, but I think this one's going to be a 35-14. I think Cal's pretty good, but I think Hugh Freeze and the offensive orphanage that he runs out there, I think they're gonna shake it out.
I mean, Cal hasn't been good since Aaron Rodgers, have they, really?
No,
but yeah, they beat us in like 2016 or something, did they not? In some bowl or something, or last time we played.
Yeah.
And my uncle went to Cal. My uncle's a Cal grad.
Not so fun fact there.
I mean, this is. Let's just do it. Cal 35-28.
Oh my goodness gracious! Lord. Thank God.
Let's go Golden Bears. Let's go.
What did you say it was?
35-28, Cal Golden Bears.
I've got 42-17, Auburn. When we get back, short little break here, we're going to wrap it up and pick Tennessee's ridiculous score over Austin Peay.
Helen Keller could tell you who's going to win that game.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome back, Tennessee fans. We are going to make the final pick for this week. Save the best for last. 5 p.m. Eastern on SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus that you have to pay for. That's lovely. Right now, 12th ranked Tennessee, and you have to pay for one of their games. Meanwhile, you can catch Florida and McNeese. Kind of weird.
I think you can still get tickets to the game. I think it's probably not a sellout.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, the best part of the game will probably be the pride of the Southland. Maybe they'll do the circle drill. Circle drill, anybody? Maybe.
Oh, how ridiculous is this score?
I think just to kind of jazz it up and make some fun here, I'm going to say not only is it 56-10, I'm going to say one of those touchdowns Nico throws.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say one of those
which touchdowns. You said he was going to play last week.
He did play.
Which he did.
I'm so pissed because they were on the goal line and they ran it. And I was like, "What? You guys are killing my podcast career. You guys are killing it." Heupel, no, let him throw it, okay? I'm going to say 56-10. Nico is a touchdown, and there is going to be a defensive touchdown in this
game. Yeah.
I'm
pick
six. D'Amico Slaughter, maybe? Maybe they'll take a chance and throw to Slaughter's side?
Maybe. Because and Virginia find out what happens. Mess around and find out. You
know? I want to see a deep bomb to Thornton.
Has there been any update on Squirrel White, just off the subject? Is he?
Oh, his injury?
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
I will say that Austin Peay has one of, if not the best chance in college sports.
Here he goes.
Let's go, Peay.
The governors?
No, let's go, Peay.
You're right.
Let's go, Peay.
And then they're all just peeing.
I say that after I drink about 8 Miller Lights. Let's go, Peay. I'm going to say, I don't know, 72 to 6.
Playing for Oregon now?
70. Yeah, I think they got a – like, Heupel's like, okay, anything you can do, I can do better. What if he hang 90 on him? That'd be cool. I've never been the, I don't feel bad for him.
Run it up.
Life ain't fair.
Exactly, yeah. If you don't want us to score, stop us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 52-10, Tennessee. I have one last thing. UVA game. Musket goes out. They bring in the freshman.
What a name, by the way.
So, Musket, wait a minute. You had
see what I did there?
You have Jesse Palmer, right, and Tessitore, whatever the hell his name, Joe Tessitore.
He's one of the best, if not the best in the biz.
Called this kid. One of them called him Calandria. The other one called him Calandria.
Chlamydia? Oh, yeah.
I was like, which one is it, guys? Which one is it?
Jesse Palmer was too preoccupied with what he's going to say
about himself.
Bird, am I allowed to say one cuss word?
Sure.
I want to see Heupel during this game playing Austin Peay on the sidelines going, shit, them boys is having the time of their lives. That's what I
– See, that was a
you
quote.
Know what movie that –
That was
name a, the
that,
movie.
That, it was
Come on.
Hold on.
God, 10.
Kilmer Stadium. Varsity Blues. Good Lord,
That's
I couldn't
exactly
think of
right.
it.
That's exactly right. Call the dinosaurs.
Varsity Blues.
Shit, the boys are having the time of their lives. I mean, I can see Heupel saying that.
That would be hilarious. There's enough Absolutely. People in the stands that'll be saying that.
Yeah, yeah. The 12 people that listen to us. Remember, I said it first.
The 12 people. There's a lot more than that there. Come on now. Give our listeners a little bit of...
It's called self-deprecating.
Here. Yeah.
It's okay.
The video, the YouTube side of it, and that's 23. No, that's two. The two people that are watching on live right now, right. Of course, this ain't for you. We just record this, our podcast listeners.
But we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate the hell out of it.
Go ahead and share.
Sorry, bud.
Trying to keep it clean. Family entertainment here. Guys, we do appreciate you listening to another episode of Tennessee Fan Talk. Remember, wherever you are, we are at TN Fan Talk. Your Vols, our Vols, everybody's Vols. Here it comes.
Balls in the mouth.
There it is. 1-0, going to be 2-0 at the end of the week after they go pee. And then we move on to Gainesville.
P-E-A, right? No, P-E-A-Y.
Why? All right.
It's like pea soup.
Go Vols.
Go Vols, big orange.